Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em Roberts, from the beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. So today's episode is a little bit different. Today, I'm sitting here with my old assistant and a very, very dear friend of mine in London, Christina, and she's going to be interviewing me today. So the reason for turning the tables is because I feel like it's really relevant to talk about my move abroad, what inspired me to start this podcast. So we're going to just talk about how and why I moved to London, my transition into blogging full time, and so much more. So we're just going to get right into it. And I'm going to pass it over to Christina. Hi.
Hello. My name is Christina. I'm super excited to be here. So I guess we'll just kind of start with the main question. I moved to the UK from California in July of 2017. I moved to Edinburgh for, well, it's kind of two reasons. My boyfriend's Scottish. So I moved from California. We did long distance for the year. And then I decided to move to Edinburgh and get my master's and kind of see how our relationship went from there. And then we decided to move to London in June, where I met Emily.
I love that. So I also want to talk about how we actually met, because I feel like it's so relevant. I know when like I moved over, I reached out to a bunch of girls on Instagram and like other bloggers maybe who have moved. And then I reached out to a lot of Americans too, who were living in London to pick their brain, grab coffee or whatever. And that's kind of what you did, right?
Yeah. I honestly, I was like, I'm moving to London. I knew one person, she was in my sorority. But I knew nobody. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to these girls. Honestly, I was so intimidated by you. Like,
I feel like I'm the least intimidating person ever.
You are. But like, I was texting Jake and I was like, this girl said she's going to get coffee with me. Oh my God, she's so cool. What do I wear? What am I going to do? It was really good.
I love that. I think we met at the Marylebone Hotel, right?
Coffee? And then when I met you, I mean, obviously we got on super well and hit it off super well, but yeah.
We hit it off and like, we've become such good friends, which has been amazing. But then also you helped me with my blog and you were my part-time assistant for like 6 months and you helped me with Fashion Week last year.
So much fun.
Like literally fucking rock star with everything.
So much fun.
So good.
So yeah, so I was helping you with that. And then now I'm just currently doing my GDL. So it's like a law conversion course. And I have my own blog kind of part-time called Legally Louboutin. So, you know.
And it's so cute. You're so good. You're like already a rock star content creator. Your photos are amazing.
You're too nice.
You're on it. You're on it. I love it.
Well, okay, so enough about me. We're here for you. So I guess to start, we should just do, I mean, we already know each other, but icebreakers are fun nonetheless. So
let's get into it.
What are the first three things that you do when you wake up in the morning?
Okay, so first three things I do, I let light into my apartment. I pull down the blinds, pull up the blinds. Then I head to the kitchen and I grab either a facial oil or like a hydration serum, and I grab my jade roller from the fridge. Ooh. It lives in the fridge.
Okay.
And I do that for like 5 minutes. So I do facial massage just to like wake myself up, have like kind of a zen moment, sit by the window, look outside, like just kind of
have
get ready. Yeah, have a moment to myself, like it's quiet. And then from there, I'm usually ready to make my coffee. I do Bulletproof lately. I'm on that whole thing.
Cool.
So I feel like we've talked about this. Bulletproof coffee, I do grass-fed butter, MCT oil. I do cinnamon and almond milk too. And I kind of mix it up. And it's this just like delicious, like frothy latte-ish coffee.
See, I tried to get into it.
Okay.
I haven't. I don't know. Okay. I feel like I should try it again.
Yeah, try it again. You have to blend it because it gets all frothy and like a latte.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm hooked on that. So yeah, I think those are three things.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Then from coffee to your favorite alcoholic beverage.
So I'm a tequila lover.
Oh,
most
girl,
people,
same.
Most people know this about me. So love a good margarita. However, my favorite cocktail and my favorite tequila cocktail is a Paloma. So for those of you that don't know what a Paloma is, it is tequila, either grapefruit soda or fresh grapefruit. Ooh. And soda water and a lime. And I love it. They're delicious. You can find a really good one at Corazon in Soho. I want to take you there. It's okay. This amazing Mexican restaurant in London. To note, it's really tough to find good Mexican here. Tough. You know that.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm such a California snob when it comes to good Mexican food. And yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah. But you said that you have a pretty decent one in your neighborhood, which we're by London Bridge right now.
Well, okay, actually, you know what I found out? It was the same taco place that we went for your birthday.
Oh,
it's
no way.
But it's the original one in Borough Market just down the road.
Okay, yeah, they're amazing.
And their tacos are really good.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and yeah. So my birthday was at El Pastor, but they're not all called El Pastor. I think like each one has a different
name.
Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes for those of you in London that are looking for really good Mexican. We're on it. Yeah, so Paloma, because there's one right now.
I know, right?
It's 10 a.m.
I know. I have a bunch of exams. But that's okay. Anyways, okay, so kind of just to switch, let's talk about the podcast, why we're here today. Yes. So first and foremost, how did you come up with the name for the podcast and kind of why did you start? Just give me the little background story.
Yeah, definitely. So I love podcasts. I listen to them and I ingest them and I think it's an amazing form of media now. So being a lover of podcasts, this has been kind of in the back of my mind. And now that I've been in London for 2 years, I've been sort of blogging and on the Instagram grind for, I guess, technically 4 years. I am ready for something else. I'm ready for a side project. I'm ready to just do something a little bit different. So I feel like the podcast is a perfect segue into that. What's inspired me to start this particular podcast, which is called The Big Move, it's been inspired by my move to London. So this all came to life 2 years ago. And I feel like I've just met like amazing women here, entrepreneurs, like experts in skincare and beauty, other bloggers, women that have created these amazing brands, and they're from all over the world. So I want to share the conversations with everyone via podcast, like business tidbits, advice. So that's kind of like why I started it. And with that, I would like to play a little movie clip. And I've been like waiting for this moment to share this. So I'm really excited. Okay. So bear with us. We're going to pull up a little YouTube clip situation. Also, name that movie.
Okay, so then what do? What happens now? Like, logistically, what's your move?
Hey, what's my move?
What's your move? Like, what's your big move?
I got lots of moves.
What's your big move?
I'm talking about big move.
Tell me your move.
You're not ready for the big move.
Yes, I am. I want your big
move. You can't handle the big move, trust
me. Tell me a big move.
I work dirty dancing into the conversation.
You always forget how good that movie is until you see Ryan Gosling and then you're like, oh my God. Yeah.
It gets me every time. I'm obsessed with both of them. I feel like most of you have probably seen this movie. It's from Crazy Stupid Love. And when I was sort of like brainstorming names for the podcast, once I landed on The Big Move, I wanted to incorporate, you know, like living abroad or like moving or something. So that's kind of like why I came up with the name. But once I landed on it, I couldn't help but just like play this clip over and over in my head. And I love the movie. It's I love so both funny. Of them. So anywho.
I love it. I love it. You should like, you know, in the intro, you should take a little bit of that clip.
Yeah. I talked about doing that with the recording studio I've been working with. But yeah, I think there's like some licensing things like that.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Anywho, having some fun, playing this for everyone.
Well, you mentioned that you loved listening to podcasts and you're just such like an absorber of podcasts. Can you tell me a couple of your favorite ones?
Yes. So you and I like gush over her on almost a weekly basis. Lauren Evers from
iconic.
The Skinny Confidential.
She's honestly iconic.
Yes. And so she started a podcast with her husband called the TSC Him and Her podcast. I listen to that weekly and they release like 2 episodes a week. They
Is
are
it 2?
Yeah, they're fucking on it. So love the TSC podcast for a couple reasons. Like one, they get into business advice, blogging, just sort of that whole whole back end of things. But then they also have a lot of fun. Like they have like cool sex topics. They even throw in kind of random episodes. One of the most random ones I think I've listened to recently was someone was an expert spear fisher.
Oh, okay. So, listen to that one.
So they really mix it up. So I love that. And then I also love the Goop podcast.
Oh, always.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I feel like I walk away from those listening to those, and I just like, I'm like so invigorated and just like ready to take on the world from such a spiritual place.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. They're very thoughtful.
Yeah.
And it's when you kind of want to have like maybe a Zen moment. Mm. So I really love the Goop podcast. One of my favorite episodes is Gwyneth and Oprah.
Oh, like, I actually haven't listened.
Oh, yes. One. It's like one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
And then sort of the OG for me in the podcast world is Lewis Ho's School of Greatness. So he's been doing this for, I think, a really long time. He was sort of at the forefront of the whole podcast movement, and he has great episodes. Again, great business advice, entrepreneurs, people starting businesses. So I'm a big fan of that one as well.
Okay, I'm definitely going to have to check him out. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, exciting. Another thing to listen to on the tube.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so my next question is, when was your move to London? Why did you move to London? Kind of, I don't know, London, it's such a vision from coming from America. It's always like, we love London, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you know, who actually ever moves here? So yeah, tell us your story.
Yeah, definitely. So 2 years ago, I moved here with my husband, Nick. And the way that came to life really was he works in finance, and he took a role at a new company that wanted to put him here. What was cool about our move, it wasn't sudden. We had about a year to sort of stomach it and plan and figure out what that looked like for the both of us. So we moved over 2 years ago. We had both been living and working in New York City. Him and I met in New York. We met out at a club.
The old-fashioned
way, like right before the whole app and Tinder movement. So that is sort of how and why we moved to London together.
And what was your experience like when you moved here initially? I don't know, maybe like the first 6 months or something.
Yeah, the first 6 months were really, really, really challenging. You know, you're thrown into a completely new city. You're really far away from friends and family. You've got the time difference. And then I also came over not quite knowing if I was going to blog full-time or look for full-time roles in digital media, which was what my background's in, which we're going to get into a little bit. But I think all of those things made sort of my first 6 months a little bit rocky, a little bit of a roller coaster. I moved over in the middle of the summer. I moved over in July. Okay. So it was hot as a fuck. Okay.
Surprisingly, I don't expect summers to be that warm here.
Yeah, totally. And the apartments don't have air conditioning.
No.
So the physical move was interesting as well. But the reason I say, you know, the middle of the summer was challenging was because I was starting to network and meet people, and I was hustling and I was trying to figure out if I was going to be right, like I said, like working full-time or blogging. So interviewing for full-time jobs was really difficult. Everyone is out on like a 2-week holiday here. So no one is in office. No one is getting back to you.
Yeah.
So that was tricky. And then I think the other huge part of it was obviously meeting friends and creating a network takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I just remember in those first 6 months, like craving a connection mm-hmm. with like other women. And I also found that I sort of was craving finding other Americans that were sort of in the same situation so that I could relate, if that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. I do find that that's really helpful. And as you and I have sort of gone through this, like we found each other mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Because it helps to find, you know, people that are sort of going through similar situations as you. So I think just creating the network, finding, you know, other women that would, you know, become like friends for coffee dates and things like that, because you miss that.
So what would your like main tips be for meeting new people in new cities or new women or same like-minded women? What would your main, I don't know, 3 tips be or something?
Yeah. So Instagram and blogging came in handy there. So I, you know, hopped on Instagram before I came over multiple times. I had a couple trips prior to my actual move. Okay. So on every trip, I would set up coffee meetings and
oh my gosh, did you?
Yeah. I would like literally go on Instagram and search hashtag London blogger.
Wait, that's what I did to find you.
You did? Perfect. So it worked.
Yeah, there you go.
And I would just reach out to other girls and just say, hey, can we grab a coffee? Like, let's hang out. Like, I'm moving from New York. I would just love to like pick your brain, catch up. And yeah, just kind of putting yourself out there. So I did that. So reaching out to other people, and then LinkedIn was really helpful at the time. I was looking for jobs as well. So, I just tried to find if there were any other Americans who had also moved over. Maybe they were working in media, just to kind of pick their brain, amazing, see what the market looked like over here. So that was kind of my main, way of meeting people.
Awesome. So then I guess that kind of segues right into what made you decide to go full-time blogging? Because you said that you were working in digital media in New York and you had, you know, experience and all that. So what was the deciding factor? How did you make that jump?
Definitely. So I started to sort of look for jobs here. And while I was doing that, I was building up my blog and my brand. And I had already been working with brands in the States. So I was continuing to do that because my audience was still primarily US-based. So as I saw that picking up, and then as I was interviewing, the first question in all my interviews was, do you have a visa? And Nick and I were engaged at the time, something I don't think I noted. But so we came over. I didn't have a visa yet. So,
oh my gosh, that process is just so stressful.
Yeah, it's really stressful. And Nick and I had the fallback plan of, you know, obviously we're going to get married anyway. Right. We can always return to the US and get married on paper if we need to. But we were kind of like up for the challenge. And so I kept an open mind. I came over here. I had a return flight back to the States because when you come over, you need to tell them like how long you're here. Right. And then, you know, I told them, I said, oh, you know, like I'm visiting, you know, my partner for 3 months. And they're like, oh, well, like when's your return flight? So you have to have documentation. Oh, it's really nerve wracking.
Many times I've had to show my flight home when Jake and I were doing long distance. It literally, it's like being interrogated at the airport.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Especially after like a 12-hour flight, that's the last thing you want, but I digress.
Yeah. It's so nerve wracking. And so one of my biggest pieces of advice for people that are moving abroad is figure that all out beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like it is very stressful. Yeah. Obviously, again, we had a fallback plan, but it's unsettling, the feeling of coming over, knowing you're not on a visa and you technically can't work.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to stall my blog partnerships for that time period because I technically wasn't allowed to work until I had a working visa. Mm-hmm. So back to, I guess, interviewing, looking for jobs. Once I saw my blog kind of picking up here, and as I saw opportunities arise, I decided, you know, I want to just go for this. I want to take the jump. I'm ready to do this and blog full time. Like, again, I had been doing it for two, three years. So I had seen how, you know, I had traction in the States. I could definitely transition it into over here across the pond, but, you know, it was also scary for me taking that jump. So Nick and I decided we had to go home for a friend's wedding anyway. And so we got married, went to the courthouse. We had a very intimate family gathering. My parents came to Chicago and we had like a lovely dinner in the back of like an Italian restaurant and this like garden. And so it worked out. We did the expedited visa process. I had it within 48 hours.
Oh, I did that too.
And it
makes such a difference.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and was yours as stressful as mine?
So stressful.
Okay, because there's a chance that they can reject you, obviously.
Yeah. I didn't, the first time it was super stressful, but my second visa, I ended up just like hiring a lawyer here in London because I was like, I don't want to risk, you know, taking one wrong box.
Yeah, yeah. It's really definitely recommend finding resources for that. So if it's a lawyer or someone in the legal world to just talk you through, it gets very complicated. And so with that, I'm now on Nick's visa and I can work. So that's just sort of how the whole visa thing came to life.
Do you think living in London and being able to access all these different like European countries and European cities and just be able to hop on a plane and be in like Italy in an hour, do you think that impacts your blog? Because you get so much different type of content than, you know, New York City or...
Definitely. And I've tried to just embrace that because I think coming from New York, you know, my content was very, everything, my blog, my brand, everything, I had started it in New York. All my pictures were in New York, Brooklyn. Sure. And then coming over here, it was like, okay, now everything is going to look European.
So many options,
London is obviously amazing for that. But still getting in a groove and sort of like transitioning over and switching it up can be difficult too. But I've just tried to embrace it. And then with traveling to all these different countries and then taking these little city break and weekend trips, which Nick and I take advantage of. Tick off cities on our list. People get kind of surprised. They're like, wait, you went to Barcelona just for the weekend? And I'm like, yeah, because we're ticking it off.
Well,
like,
that's what you do. That's what you do being an American abroad.
Yeah,
that's normal.
Totally. And so I shoot wherever I am, really, and organically, and just embrace it. And how can you not? I mean, the backdrops are insane. Like, you're in Greece.
It's literally art.
It's like the most picturesque place ever.
What are your favorite European cities?
My favorite European cities, Paris. I always like to say, like, yes. Paris is always a good idea.
Yes.
And living over here, I've been over to Paris like 6-7 times
now.
You just
hop on
probably
the train.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally last time I went, I was like, I want to go to Paris tomorrow. Got on the Eurostar, went there for a couple days.
Yeah.
Ate a bunch of food, walked around cafes and just like hung out and just like experienced Paris.
Yeah. And you can go, like you said, for the day if you want. You can go for one night. I've been doing a lot of that. It's a 2-hour train ride.
I feel like we should go to Paris soon.
Yeah, I think so too. Definitely.
Okay.
And then my one of my other favorites is Amsterdam. I love it. Go ride bikes. It's a great,
it's
like,
beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's like a foodie epicenter. If you can go in the springtime, which I haven't done yet, I went in the fall, you can see the tulips and they're just these like miles and miles of like beautiful tulip fields, and they are dreamy. And I mean, could it
picture
be more
perfect.
Instagrammable?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest here. Like,
well, okay. So the next question, if we're, you know, we live in the UK now, so we have to ask what the favorite Euro quote unquote holiday is.
Yes. So I feel like I've totally adopted this word as well. And it is such a European thing. It's like holiday instead of like saying vacation.
Well, I feel like I go home sometimes. My friends are like, you sound so British. I'm like, no, I don't. But I guess like I have these British words that I say in my California accent. So people get like really thrown off by like, where the hell are you from?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Hands down, Greece.
Yeah.
Nick and I went for the first time last summer. We did Mykonos and Santorini. And that trip was kind of perfect just because it was like Mykonos is obviously a huge party scene and their beach clubs are amazing. So we did Scorpios, which lives up to the hype. Scorpios is amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It's got this like boho vibe, dreamy like beach club situation. It like really turns up at night. It's like quite a party at night.
Okay, you're making me want to go to Greece.
Yes, yes, I do. I love Mykonos for the beach clubs. And then we did Santorini that trip as well, which is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. We met during that trip like 5 other couples that were on their honeymoon. And it's just beautiful. You're up on like a really high cliff. It's called the Caldera. So the island is built up on the Caldera and you're just overlooking like the water. You're high up. It's insane. The sunsets are gorgeous. And then we loved the food. The food blew us away.
Right?
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't know what to expect. Mm-mm. Like we go to Italy a lot, and obviously we're
Italian
like big
food is amazing.
We're big foodies, and carbo loading is like totally our thing. But we didn't know what to expect, and like insane. Everything is so fresh, like the seafood, like the feta, like.
And
all
I feel
the
like
above.
You can like eat all the food and then like not feel bad, and then get in your bikini and go to the pool like an hour later.
Yeah,
and, like not want to. You know,
yeah, 100%. So with you.
Okay, so then let's kind of switch gears. Or actually, no, I want to know where you're going to next.
Yes. So we were just in Barcelona for the weekend, which was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
I hadn't been since high school, and it's has these like California European vibes, palm trees, sun for 2 days, like literally like gorgeous. Yeah.
And are you going anywhere this summer?
And then I'm going to Bordeaux, like doing French wine country over Easter.
Bordeaux is amazing.
Yeah, so I'm definitely excited for Bordeaux very soon.
Amazing. And okay, so let me think about this. I feel like I know you so well. I have to kind of like rack my brains to ask like the most logical questions.
No, it's fine.
So then obviously we're talking about traveling and taking your brand internationally. So can you kind of talk about the biggest challenge that you have, you know, with going from an American audience to a European audience, a British audience?
Yeah, definitely. So coming from New York and where I built my blog and brand, you know, obviously my audience is primarily US based. So coming over here, you know, I've been able to grow my UK following, especially over the last couple of years. But I think one of the biggest challenges has been getting really strategic and very focused. I like to tell people too that are new to blogging or to the whole Instagram world, and I think I feel like I've said this to you, like there's no shortage of brands and opportunities, especially right now. Like influencer marketing is absolutely booming. When I came over to London, I wasn't sure if it was as big over here as it was in New York. And I've also just in the last 2 years seen it absolutely skyrocketed. Like brands are on it, agencies are on it, like PRs. So right now there is really no shortage of sort of opportunities that can come your way. But I think with that is being strategic and focused and being able to pick out opportunities that work for your brand, and just really being smart and really being thoughtful and like not saying yes to sort of everything. And I think now that I'm 4 years in, I'm at that point where I'm able to do that. And so just really sitting down and being thoughtful about my brand, because I think with tons of opportunities coming our way, it can be hard to do that. So so yeah, I would say that.
Well, I feel like that's kind of what you said to me in the beginning. Like when we first met up for coffee, I was like, hey, I really want to start a blog. I'm super intimidated. I don't know where to start. I love fashion. I love beauty. I love this stuff, but I don't know where to start. And you literally were just like, Christina, just do it. You'll learn as you go. It doesn't have to be perfect. Like you're going to be fine. And I did. And I mean, now I wish I started a year before and just produced, you know, things and you learn from it.
Yeah, no, 100%. So and you've done so good too with, you know, your blog, although it's fairly new, like you're so passionate about beauty. And so you're always trying new products and brands and stuff like that. And so it's like, why it's like, it's share that. And then other brands will notice you through that content. And so it's all sort of like a domino effect.
For sure. Okay, so then from there, what are your favorite beauty products?
So many. It's so hard. And I'm obviously continuing to try different brands all the time, but my favorites are NARS. NARS is like my OG, but like through and through, they are the best, especially when it comes to skin.
NARS just takes me back to Sephora. Like it takes me back to like my high school days when I was like walking through the aisles of Sephora and like learning how to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The products just get better, don't they?
Yeah. And we are sadly are missing Sephora over here. Oh, why haven't they launched in London?
I know. I feel like we need to get a petition going or something.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I love NARS, especially for foundation and concealer. And then I'm also loving RMS Beauty. They are completely clean beauty brand.
Amazing.
Yes, they're the best. So I really like their lipsticks. And then they have their highlighter, which was like probably the first highlighter I've ever used. It's coconut oil based.
Amazing.
Use it with your fingers. It's really good.
Okay.
Love Glossier. Big fan of Glossier. Milk Makeup is also a newer one I've been using. I love the Kush mascara. It's really volumizing. I'm wearing it now. Love it. Nude by Nature is a newer sort of, I think they're an Australian brand and I believe they are completely clean as well.
Honestly, Goop has been getting me on the clean like bandwagon. I've changed all my cleaning products. I'm trying to slowly kind of go to the natural, I don't know, hair products and makeup and everything. And I really, that platform has really changed how
I
look at it.
I think everyone's just sort of becoming a lot smarter with that and being conscious of the ingredients in their skincare and their beauty and all that. So then I think lipstick, MAC is my OG.
Always.
They have a new formula though called Powder Kiss.
Which
and
I
it's
love.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's literally the best. It's a very lightweight matte. So it's really wearable. You don't even need a mirror to put it on. You can smudge it. Like it looks so natural. I'm obsessed with it. We'll put some links in the show notes. I do love for something a little more high-end, Chanel. Their formula is just amazing. I really love their matte formulas. Estee Lauder is always good for like an amazing red lipstick. And then again, RMS, if you want something more natural, their formula is really pigmented. So it's clean, but it's also like, I don't know, sometimes with some clean makeup brands, their lipsticks don't really live up to their full potential, I feel like. But RMS is really good. And then my last lipstick is one that I've been using, and it's newer, Topshop. So Topshop launched beauty products, and they have a matte lipstick. It's 10 pounds.
No way.
And the colors are insane. I've been wearing this one called Rio Rio, which is like a like coral red. It's like a warmer red. Amazing. Obsessed
perfect
with
for
it.
The springtime.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay. So I've been staring at your skin for the past 5 minutes while you talk about makeup, and it's honestly flawless. I need to know kind of like your skincare routine, the skin brands that you typically go for.
My gosh.
Tell me all the info.
Yes. 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 I love Avène, French brand, really affordable. Okay. You can find it in Boots over here. And then the States, like they have it, I think, at Duane Reade and all of the drugstores. Love Avène. They have a product called Sickle Fate, which I think you and I think so. Christina and I both see Renee Lapino for our skin. So I feel like often we're talking about a lot of the same products, but mm-hmm. Avène has a product called Sickle Fate, and it's one of my favorites. If you have a blemish or a sunburn or like an irritation, put on Sickle Fate, and by the next day, it's like,
how am I unaware of this?
Oh my gosh. Renee and I talk about this all the time. We'll also put it in the show notes.
Okay,
I'm obsessed. They are a Nordic brand, Lumine. I've since discovered them over here. They're really big over that way, but they're becoming more popular in London. Lumine, really love their skin line. I love Erno Laszlo. Their sleep mask is insane. And Dr. Goldfaden,
oh, I love,
for something
love.
More dermatologist mm-hmm. recommended. Really love Dr. Goldfaden. Yeah. Which products do you use by him?
I had their sleeping mask.
Yes. Okay.
I just ran out though, and I'm like really upset about it.
Okay.
And then I have like one of their peels that you use like once a week or a couple times a week.
Okay.
And again, I love it. I feel like I wait, like tingles and tightens, and I take it off and I'm like, oh my God, I'm just ready to conquer the day.
Yeah.
Now, super fresh.
I love it. Yeah. I'm with you. Needleless is like the best hyaluronic acid. Mm-hmm. And then they have an eye cream called Bright Eyes, which I love. Another one, Skin Laundry. They're a California brand that I've recently discovered.
Okay.
And they are known for their laser treatments, but they also have a skincare line. So I've been using their cleanser, and then they have a retinol, which is like a 2-in-1 moisturizer. So I've been using that. And then the last one is a brand called Medicate. And they are amazing for their retinol products. And then they also have an oil cleanser that's like amazing.
I
love that one.
Love an oil cleanser.
Yes.
I'm so obsessed with it.
Yes, I am too. I feel like for taking makeup off, and then if you have like sensitive skin or dry skin, mm-hmm. oil mm-hmm. cleanser is like totally the way to go. It doesn't strip your face. Big buyer of oil cleansers.
Okay, so then I'm going to ask the final beauty question. Because
yes.
Why not just hit all three?
Yes.
Hair brands.
Okay, so hair brands. I do love Kérastase, especially with being blonde and having color-treated hair. Feel like I love their hair masks especially. I do love The Way. They have a really good dry shampoo.
They also have a really good like wave spray.
Yes, wave spray is good. And they have great travel sizes. I love brands that invest in having like travel size little kits, because
especially because the London airport like security, you had to fit all this stuff in a little tiny clear bag. And it's horrible.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's really brutal. So get down with
way too much product to do that with.
Totally. They also have hair vitamins, and they have it like by hair type. So they have like one for dry hair, one for thin hair. So I've taken those in the past. They're pretty good. And then I like Chlorane for their dry shampoo. And then Redken is always a good fallback.
Classic,
again, color treated, like back to basics, mm-hmm. need something that's like sulfate free.
Amazing. So what is your everyday kind of go-to daytime look, routine, makeup, hair? What do you do every morning?
Yeah, I'm all about minimalist, really natural hair and makeup, especially for daytime. For nighttime, that's like a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get into that in another episode. But I like to just air dry my hair or do like a quick, like rough dry. Mm-hmm. And then maybe...
Very Parisian of you.
Yeah, just like easy,
yeah.
Really easy. And then it's, you know, less damage on your hair too.
For sure.
So I feel like the days that you can do that, I would definitely, definitely recommend it. I feel like for years in high school, I was like blow drying and straightening my hair every single day. And
oh,
it was
100%.
So damaged.
Oh. And I did the whole thing that I didn't realize you had to blow dry your hair before you straightened it. So I would use my straightener as my like Oh, I know.
Wait, you're joking.
No, I know.
Oh, God, that's brutal.
Oh, I know. Like, such a problem.
Yeah. So air dry. And then I might do like a tong through my hair just to make it look a little bit more pulled together if I have meetings or something like that. And then just like easy, really natural makeup. I'm all about skincare, as you probably can tell. So just like a really good skincare routine, and then either like a BB cream or a CC cream, or just like a lighter foundation kind of situation. Brows, mascara, and then like obviously some kind of like lipstick, maybe something like kind of natural or neutral for daytime. Ready in 30 minutes, like keep it easy. Yes. That's sort of what I'm all about.
Too much stuff to do during the day.
Yeah.
Like, who has time to spend 2 hours doing their face? And like, no.
Yeah, no, no. I'm so with you. Ugh. This was such a fun convo.
I know, it was so much fun.
Yeah. Good, so now hopefully we can go find like some food or like a coffee shop around here.
For
we're gonna get to that. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode or you found something valuable from it. Thank you for listening as always. And please, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And we'll see you on another episode.